Good afternoon, everyone. Hi, welcome. This is my second ApacheCon conference, and this is my first presentation at ApacheCon. So, my name, talking about the Medley data platform at Uber. My name is Sammy Adrenley. I'm lead the corporate integration team. And I have a little problem here. Second. I'm doing the online presentation thing. There you go. Topics I'd like to cover today. What's a Medley platform? Some more concepts that are more Medley related concepts. Why did we do this? Why did we build Medley? We'll work together on solving a problem, actual integration problem. That's, I think, is a good problem to solve. And we'll talk about use cases at the end. So how did it all start? We started at the Uber onboarding, with the Uber onboarding team, because they had a lot of workers. So they process worker data, and they had a lot of data idiosyncrasies related to data and so on, and like missing fields, and they didn't know how to track changes for the data. And the data gets updated and pulled from different sources for contractors and full-time workers. And a lot of times there are missing fields and so on, and we needed to build an integration system to pull that data, basically. And that was the starting point for the service. And also we looked at the idea of leveraging other data integrations. We all understand code reuse. So can we have data integration reuse? Or can we not? Also, we looked at evaluating other tools like MuleSoft for a while. And it wasn't really a great fit for so many reasons. And also, we realized that our corporate infrastructure has so many networks. So you have a data integration platform, but you have like the corp network, you have the product network, you have maybe your sales network, and so on. And sometimes you have systems that are really private to these networks, that you cannot move the data from one network to another. So if you build a data integration system on your product network, how is it going to communicate with your corp network? So that was a big problem, actually, we wanted to solve. And, of course, we built it on top of Apache Camel, great framework. This is really very appropriate after the Apache Camel talk by Klaus. So in a nutshell, at the core, we have Apache Camel, DSL, EIP. And on top of that, we built a few things, really. One of them is the idea of like ubiquitous web services, where you build a route. And I think everyone here knows what a route is, right? Okay, it's an integration. So you build a route, and then it's a web service. You don't really have to like connect it. Like in MuleSoft, you have to create a listener, you have to do this and that, and define your protocol and whatever, and or other systems, or you know. You just build the route and deploy it, and it's a web service. That's it, as simple as that. The second thing is we had route running and scheduling logic. So we know how to run these routes on a schedule and so on. And the third thing was, right from the beginning, we realized that we do not want system to process data sets over and over and over and over, because that's what they do at the enterprise companies. They like pull, let's say, the worker data. Let's say you have 60,000 records or 100,000 records. They pull all the data, they process it. Dozens and dozens and dozens of systems do that. And we don't like that. We don't want that. So we want to do a reuse of that part. So the whole idea of entity change detection was born because of that. And also everything was built with security at its core. So like the idea of security and data go together so well that we had to think about security right from the beginning, and I came from security background as well, so it's just had to always think about that. And the whole system is connected to Uber services, logging, monitoring, load balancing for the Mesos cluster. You know, could do Thrift, Kafka. We have AthenaX and Jaeger. These are actually open source projects. These are some Uber technologies. We have something called Terablob. We have the data object storage abstraction system where you could store objects at a very high scale. So in a nutshell, we're running Apache Camel as a service. So some of the concepts, this is, you're familiar with this, it's a medley, it's a route, and it's an Apache Camel concept. A route is the, you know, defined routing rules between components and processors. And you're familiar with everything here, really. One thing is interesting is that a route is not a DAG. It's one of the enterprise integration pattern. So you could have cycles, and that's actually very important for us because we have other tools that are more DAG-oriented, like from point A to point B or C to process something. But this one you could loop, so you could process things over and over on multiple steps. And also, when you deploy a route, it's called a task, medley task. So we have a concept called a site. And a site is a cluster. And you could have a site in any environment you want. And we made it easy, kind of entrenched in the system right from the beginning, to have clusters. Like on your corp network, you could have a staging cluster, you could have a test cluster, you could have a production cluster on your production network, and so on. You know, you could have them on different networks. And the cluster actually have a friendly name. And that's used in our tools. I'll go through that soon. We have the concept of a primary site. And all this cluster does is takes all the route running data, metadata, from all the different sites, and it gets aggregated to it. So if you have, we basically ended up with these four clusters, but we have routes running everywhere. And as a developer, you're like, I don't know where the routes are, I don't know. And actually, we have something called security planes. I'll show you. Even with that, it becomes really complicated. So because of that, now we send all that metadata to the primary cluster, and you could filter that data. You could see all your own routes that you own. You could see any runtime data you want. Also, you could see runtime detail data as well. The task that's running, the medley task, we have three types of tasks. Running a task as a web service, again, any deployed route can be invoked as a web RESTful web service. The calling client, when it calls the web service, the stream that's used, like let's say they do a post, that stream is injected inside the Exchange object. So the route can process the stream right out of the box. So you don't have to. And the data that gets sent outside the route, out in the Exchange object, gets sent back to the client as a stream. So this way you could stream data in and out of the web service. You could run it on a schedule. We have a simple scheduling, cron scheduler. You could run it. We have an idea of always running tasks. We're actually approaching with this one to the serverless area. We're approaching serverless with this, and we're thinking about serverless. And so, Camel K will be perfect to think about. This idea, everything, by the way, we built was built based on need, and was built organically at the company. So people say, "Oh, I want to run this route. that's always running, because I want to like listen to events, I want to send data, receive data. So like, okay, we'll have an always running craft, you know. And basically it's a scheduled route, but when it starts, it doesn't stop. It doesn't have to stop. And then if the node goes down for whatever reason, it could get picked up by another node. And we have something called a task context, where a route can, when a route runs in the container, in the servlet container, it doesn't have access to anything, but it has this like almost like a lifeline or a very thin connectivity to the container. And that's called the task context. And through it, it could do a few things. One of them is it could set state. So we have you could set, it could set its run state. So every time you process an event, it could set the run state for that event. So when it comes back up, it could continue where it left off. So that's how we handle stopping and starting for these type of tasks. Check the time. Okay. This is the same thing with just pictures. again, different type of tasks, and you can have curl, postman, or any client app. This invocation as web services was needed so much because we have a lot of apps written at Uber that needs to interact with data. So that's the main reason why we did this, and everything else. So why did we build the Medley platform? The main reason is the integration we use. And basically the three points to that, one of them is we have a components ecosystem. Apache Camel, endpoint components and processors are so easy to write, and it's such an amazing framework, really an amazing framework. So we ended up writing a lot of these components. We have internal chat, we have a search Uber search system, we have a recruiting system. We have so many systems, and we built endpoint components to all these. Like Zoom, we have one for Zoom. I don't know, maybe there's one even that exists for Zoom. But anyway, you do. I mean, we can. Yeah. Yes. And they're so easy to build, and we even built a documentation generation system out of the Java docs. So you could go into the main comment into the endpoint class and document the parameters, document example code, how to use it in a DSL. You could document all that, and when you do a build, this documentation goes into our site, and you have a beautiful document for you. You add a new document about this component to your site. So we built a whole tooling around it as well. The second point is that routes are securely shareable. So very simple approach to security. Where following social networking and sharing content, I own content, I'm sharing it with people. It's kind of similar concept without having to build elaborate, roles and all that. And we have, so the routes have owners, and they could just share those routes. They could be shared as read-only or read-write to a user or to another group. And everything is built around Active Directory groups. And the third one is defining business entities with entity change detection. I'll go over that in more detail. Do you guys have any questions so far? Okay, so let's solve a problem, an integration problem. So how do we handle an out-of-office event at your organization? So if someone is out of office, which systems know about that? So in other words, someone goes, let's say you use Google Calendar. They say, I'm out of office, next week. And define a message. This is the official way Google deals with this. say, define the out of office message, and they save it. So they do that, but that's completely disconnected from your organization. So you have some Jira tasks you want to do for that week. You forgot. You have interviews coming up. You have pager duty, and you basically fail on all these things because you're out of office. So let's try to solve this problem. Google's solution to this is they do have a way to do a calendar watch, where basically you could call an API, a REST API, and you could tell it which calendar you want to watch, and you could set a callback or a webhook URL to call you back when there are any changes to that calendar. Unfortunately, I couldn't find a way to do it for a whole organization, and I don't think it exists. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. And this is maybe one of the solutions to this. I don't know. But we know that you could do it per calendar, per employee. So this is the limitation we have. But there is a solution, and the solution is provided by Google. So the question is, if we post this to Google and have it notify us back, then we'll know that the calendar changes. So the workflow diagram here is, well, what we can do is we can register this webhook when we onboard new employees. Someone joins the company, say, okay, here, I'm going to register this webhook. We're going to write two routes. One route is called the calendar watch route. Every route in Medley has a unique name. So it's called exactly, this is the unique name, calendar watch route. And we're going to write another one called out of office notify route. So we'll call the calendar watch route as a web service with some employee information, calendar information. And we'll register a webhook to call this other route when there is a change to that calendar. And then this will end up notifying us, this route will do its magic, and somehow we'll know about it. So the route DSL, and I'm sure it looks probably familiar to some of you. This is mainly basic DSL. We extended the route to have a little bit more functionality. One of the things is very, very minimal, the unique name. So the calendar watch route is the name. And we have a component called uStart. It does some kind of magic in the background about injection and things like that, data injection. After that, you just call a bean. So everything in the route that's highlighted with yellow here has to be provided as a parameter. You're familiar with this kind of notation. So if you don't provide these parameters, the route will not run. It will give you an error. If you call this route as a web service, you could invoke it on a schedule as well. It's your choice. But you could also call it as a web service. If you call it as a web service, you better provide these parameters, or it better gets them from somewhere. So here, this will give you the payload to call to call Google, and then it gets sent to here through the Exchange object. We'll have a Google Calendar component that gets that, and then it gets it has its own authentication to call it, but also we send it the webhook authentication to call us back, so we'll be able to verify and authenticate the callback. So we have a CLI, and this is how we interact with routes. So we build a CLI. It's quite elaborate. It has something called it's a security plane. So you always work in the CLI on a certain plane, and on that plane you could go to different sites. So here we use a to command to go to prod, to the production site. You could go to, we have another site called CPROD, Core Production. That's another site. Literally, by using the two command, you switch to another cluster. And then within that site, the security aspect is this part here. So this is the site production, but this part here is the group. So you could say two group, medley common, and if you remember, you'll go into that group. And then you could do things in that within that group. You could deploy routes. You could add secrets to the secret vault, the secret store, and they're encrypted only for that group. So what we did here is we deployed this route. And we also have revision control. When you deploy your routes and you commit to Git, we have a revision, and then we integrate it with that system as well. So this way, you could only deploy on production after you go through a commit and approval for revision, and you have a built revision, basically. So, good so far? Any questions? Okay. So to invoke this route, use a very simple REST API call. Basically, literally, hostname, route run, group name, owner, at the route name, and then you pass parameters, name, value, pairs. If you notice here, I passed two parameters. The route required three parameters. So the third one, I chose to store it in the secret store. And it's up to you. It has to find those parameters somewhere. Either it's in the secrets store or passed on the URL line. And that's how it resolved the values for these. The other route that will be called by Uber, I'm sorry, by Google, that route, it's called notify route, and Google will send it the data, the JSON of the events that changed, and then it will process. We go into this processor, it'll be part of the exchange object, and then it gets sent to the entity change component. It's beautiful. This entity change component, so the way the route package works is very lightweight. So you clone this repo, you could build, and there's an entity change component as part of our component library. But that's a facade component that you're able to, and you could debug values. So in your, you could do this, run these in your IDE, Eclipse or IntelliJ, and here it will show you, okay, I mean, I got the message or whatever. But when this actually gets deployed on the server, this facade component gets swapped with a real component. And that component has a lot of connectivity to storage and other things. The route developer doesn't have access to the server storage at all, but they have access to this component. So here what they're doing is they're sending this event. The event is event, and the event is defined as a Pojo. You guys know what a Pojo object is? Like it's a plain old Java object. It's as simple as that. So you define the event, few fields, And you give the component, say, okay, I'm passing you here in this list or a single event. This is the class. Look for this class. I want to keep track of history of changes. I want you to publish those changes. And I don't care if you tokenize the changes. I'll go over these later on. So this is kind of like a visual view of this. So the calendar service posts the event here. You get this processor that create this event. These events could get sent
basically on the server to this entity change component. And then in this case, it gets published to the Kafka queue, and you have subscribers that get the changes. We also have a nice monitoring events that are also built onto the system. So if you create a new one of these business entities, you could go into the dashboard and see when they change and how often they change and how often they're processed, and you could graph all that. I'll show you a graph soon. So here, I put the whole thing together. Again, onboarding app, call this route to watch changes for the calendar, and the employee change enters an event, will trigger a call from Google to this other route, and then to Kafka, and then to subscribers that will end up changing or notifying like Jira and PagerDuo and so on. So I want to talk a little bit about, do you have any questions about this so far? No? Yes.
You mentioned earlier about you create documentation from the route.
Yes.
Is that part of the framework or is it like a different
component? It's part of what the tooling we did at Uber. Yeah, it's when you do a build, you could just build all the documentation, and literally it gets checked into this repo, and magically the documentation side changes, and you have your component is there. It actually wasn't hard to do. I mean, anyone can actually do it. What we ended up, what's that? We should start thinking about that. By the way, this is the team. See, it's we should. It was not hard to do at all. Just parsing Java objects and formatting. Markdown was the format we created, but you could create probably other formats like HTML or whatever. So the idea of entity change detection, I like to use this analogy. It's, you know, what's the difference between noise and music analogy kind of thing? You know, they're both sounds, you know. But you create some structure of some sort, and then you get something else out of noise. A lot of times when you send and receive data, raw data, it's just bits. And a lot of systems do that, but if you think a little bit more about what is that data and what do I really care about? You know, like, let's say you have click events on a website. You have millions and millions of continuous data events. But what do I really care about? You know, like a user? So if you think about your entity as the user, so you have a finite number of those. Maybe user activity could be a business entity or something like that. So somehow you could construct a user activity object from these millions of data clicks. And then you could detect changes in user activity object, which makes it real-time kind of data processing of some sort. I mean, I know there are many real-time data processing systems, but it's an interesting way to think about data. The way the entity change component works is that a data stream feeds in, and first thing you could do is without setting any flags really, it will just detect changes, and it's very, very high performance processing. Like it will literally take like 10 seconds to process like hundreds of thousands of records to detect changes. And we use hashing and stuff. I mean, we use the basic techniques to do it. It's not that it wasn't that difficult to do. But the key here is that the entities are finite. We're processing hundreds of thousands. We're not processing millions. And actually, if you think about it, a lot of your entities are finite. But they generate a lot of noise. So
So without doing anything, just by passing it to this, it will go into some store, and then we have tools around that to just load the data changes. You could just call the REST API, give me changes since yesterday or whatever. That's it. If you turn the history flag on, it will keep track of all the changes over time. So this is really useful for worker data for the onboarding systems. You say, well, what happened to that worker data over time? And you can see like their email changed and other things changed over time and things like that. So it's good for diagnostics and things like that. If you say publish changes, it will go to a Kafka queue, and by default, the entity name is the topic in Kafka queue, so you don't have to build anything special. Now, if you say publish and tokenize, what we did here is that, but what we will do is we'll publish the changes only when they change, by the way, publish to Kafka. So only when there are changes, we'll publish the events to Kafka, and we publish some metadata about the changes, but the actual content is a token. So this way we could control access control to the data. And by the way, the owner of that entity is the owner of the route. So when I showed you that medley common group in the CLI, when you deploy the route under that, that group is the owner of the route. And that group is the owner of this entity. So that group can read this entity, but no one else can unless they give them read access to it. And if they give them read access to it, they'll be able to do this. Get the data or get it from here. Is this clear?
Just to give you a feel of like a graphing of this is window of data changes. Oops. For some entity. Not supposed to say which entity for security reasons, but to give you a feel of what happens to data over time, like how much it changes and how many new of those entities came into the system within 12 hours. Without this, it'll be very hard to know unless you build like reporting, but this mechanism gives you a lot of insight into like changes and why do they happen over the weekend or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of information there. It's very, very valuable information. Talk a little bit about integrations. So when we think about integrations, we think about some of these questions. First one is, what's the business problem that you're solving? A lot of times people come to you and say, we want to move data from this system to this system. But that's not the problem. That's like your solution. And your business problem is that the two systems are not synced, for example. You need to sync them. So that's the problem. And maybe this is not the best way to do it. You know, and we just have to really understand what the business problem is. We like to think about business entities, again, like to try to define those when you think about integrations. We like to think about if the data is immutable, and that's important. A lot of times engineers don't think a lot about that, but if you like an email doesn't really change as a data object because it just has already happened. So some data objects are immutable and they do not change. We like to think about the data size, how much data are we talking about, how often, just basic stuff. Some use cases that the system has been used for. We have synchronization work between our products and Salesforce. It's a major use case. We have a lot of worker data. Right now, with the Medley platform, we literally load the worker data once, and all the systems at Uber use that data, use that whole ecosystem. So we don't have a lot of any duplication of effort. We have interesting financial access control system that was built with the platform. We have a vendor, kind of like vetted vendors compliance system built, a very, very big elaborate system built with the platform that is used company-wide. We also built an offer tool, compensation tool. It's basically a route that goes out and get data from many, many sources and calculation data and so on. And it's a DSL. It's written in Apache Camel. And the whole thing runs as a web service. It's amazing. It's quite high performance. The performance is quite good. And we also have this other use case. We have an internal search system, and we used entity change to detect changes in worker groups. Like, you'll be amazed how many groups every employee is a member of, like could be 1,000 or whatever. And you need to index those into the search system. It's based on Solr. And to do access control for those employees to see certain documents and so on. And instead of, indexing literally millions and millions of these groups every hour or whatever, we only index the changes. So it's like much, much smaller amount. So I think that's, I'm finished kind of early. I think that's all I have. Do you guys have any questions? Yeah.
You said that it's connected to the Active Directory. Is it possible to add other, like LDAP or any other type of or is it?
Yeah. I mean, it's the security, our security layer. I could go back to this. Our security layer is, it's literally a module that we could change, and we could, we could have different implementation for it. It's based on Active Directory, but it's also based on Thrift. We actually use Apache Camel with Thrift. I don't know. Have you guys seen Apache Camel with Thrift much? You have?
Yes, there's a component for
that. You have a component for that?
Yeah. I'm not sure how.
Oh. But it's good, high performance. And actually, not all the networks, we have support for that on some environments, but not all of them. And we do some kind of imaginative stuff to use, one module to do it for all the environments. But yeah, we could implement it for other. It's basically Active Directory is basically LDAP, but for other authentication systems or directory systems, yeah. Any other questions?
Yes. So, who decides where the route is to be deployed? Like, is it your operation team, or is it a developer, or is it the Medley service itself?
No. So the route, actually, this, can you see? Yeah. This CLI, let's say you're a developer, and you're part of a team called FinTech or whatever. Usually you have an Active Directory group mapped to your team. So you go to this group, if you say two group and the group name, once you're at that group,
you and within your team, you decide to use this group and you decide to deploy it to different environments. I mean, you're basically the owner. I mean, it's made for developers. So we build the tools, but we don't make any of these decisions.
Okay. So let's say if there is a group, okay, and it we need to deploy some 1,000 routes in it. Okay. But at the same time, we also need some kind of an isolation of which routes could run on which infrastructure. For example, if I have 50 nodes, I want to dedicate 25 nodes to this route and 25 nodes to the other routes. So how is that possible?
We don't support that now.
Sorry?
We don't have support for that.
Okay.
Most of the routes you cannot say, I want these like 10 routes to run on these nodes.
Okay.
What we can do though, is you could define a zone. So per one of these sites, like production, we run in multiple data centers. So you could say, I want to deploy this route to run on the data center, on this data center. And then it will just schedule all of them to run on this one data center. That's the only thing we have. But you cannot say, I want this route to run in this Docker or on this like node exclusively. And that's what actually we're hoping to do. So in a way, if a route is misbehaving, we don't have a way to detect that right now. But we don't have that problem yet. But we're getting close to that because some more developers are building larger and more complex integrations. So we want to dedicate containers and hardware for those.
So do you have any roadmap items, like what extra or what else you would like to build in this platform?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. One of them is the serverless idea. The parallel processing, we talked about that. But the serverless in the sense that to have a contained runtime for a route. We were thinking also about a lot of more high-level thinking of what an integration is. That's why we'll talk about Fuse. So it's really good. I mean, not everybody is a developer, and there are, I would say 80% of the people that want to build integration maybe are not developers, and they just, why can't they just say they want to just run queries on their data that comes from an Excel sheet, let's say, or a Google sheet. And this is actually a very big use case. Why can't they just snap a couple of things together and they have that, I mean, there's no reason why they can't do that. I don't want them to install, run an IDE and do all the stuff and deploy and all that. So that's another thing we're doing. We're having a higher level of integration. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay,
just a quick question. When did you start this journey, and when was the first time you had something running in production with this platform in Medlicka?
So we started this 2.5 years ago, I would say. And we started having the worker data web services stuff running 2.5 years ago. It was for onboarding and things like that.
Yes.
And then we started expanding to other environments.
Okay.
Yeah. Have a question, yeah.
So could you discover other routes? Could you identify a different route, but a part of an execution is in a different route? So how could I discover it?
Discover in a sense know that it's there or know how to interact with it?
How to interact? How do I pass down? I've processed what I'm supposed to do in this route. Now all I know is I need to pass it down to the next route.
Are you saying you wanna continue processing from one route to another route?
Yes.
So let's say you have a route that loads data from Hadoop, for example. We have a custom Hadoop component. And then you wanna pipe it to a route that sends a stream to S3, let's say.
Is this what you're saying? You say, I want to take this whole route and I want to pipe it, take the output of it and add it and send it to the S3 route.
Right.
Something like that? That's interesting. We don't have, this is something we kind of talked about. We don't have like intra route integration. You have a route integration that's within components and processors within the route itself. It'd be really nice if you could have a splitter that will take data from one route and just send them to other routes. And you could just do the whole thing in a splitter. That would be nice. We don't do that yet. But that would be another idea, actually.
Yeah. But then you need sort of like a data contract between these routes so you know what is the output from this one, does it comply and work with the input from...
And what do you do when something goes wrong? Like,
yes.
How do you recover from
that? Continuing state and all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's more complicated.
It is. It adds complexity to it, for sure. Yes.
So when the developer today builds a route, and so how does he deploy it? Basically, he gives a jar file with the route classes?
Yes.
And if there is any external...
Actually, there are... Yeah, so there is a route repo that's small. So you build your jar file. You could deploy it. So we have a route set for them. But you could deploy your jar file onto a staging environment. But not on the
okay.
So you basically upload it, and then once you upload it, you can interact with it. Now, if you check it in with Git and commit it, then you could deploy it officially on the production system. These are the two ways you could do it.
And if there are any like third-party dependency jars and all, it should be bundled as an Uber jar?
It's a very good question. Right now, we put all the dependencies on the server. So they're not part of the circuit server, has all the dependencies, and the jar you deploy is a very small, like a 10 jar. Doesn't say have dependencies.
Can you give me the same question actually? Like if there is an interdependency between routes. Okay. So let's say I'm a developer. I know that this is the route which is going to do some common work. Okay. So I create this as one jar. Then I create two other routes, which are like some specific task. And can I deploy all the three routes now and will it work? Or that is something you said it will be.
No, we don't have that. I mean, the only way you could do it right now is you could call it as a web service.
Okay.
The only thing you could do right now. And actually, that's a reasonable solution, I guess. So you deploy one route, again, following his example, to S3, like it's a data to S3 route. That's the name of it. And then you have the other route, it's like data from Hadoop route. And then the data from Hadoop route, towards the end, will call a REST component that will end up sending the data to the other route as a web service. So we do have engineers that do that often, actually.
And if the route is actually connecting to, let's say, some of the database or anything, so those kind of configurations is provided like within the Uber jar, or how are those configurations provided?
The all part of a secret is a part of the whole parameter stuff.
So if when I showed you the route here, let me show you the other one.
So let's say this is a database component. Let's say this is a SQL component. You could pass to it like a username, password, and JDBC URL or whatever. And these could be parameters that come from secrets stored.
Okay.
So you could add a lot of secrets in that for that route.
Okay.
For your group.
Okay.
Only for your group. And then the secrets get resolved. Then they are encrypted. They get resolved on the server itself. And in fact, you could never see them again once you create them. I mean, it's very secure. So, yeah.
I think...
So the MedBuild platform can
Yeah.
Can only be used for running camel service. So even those Java technologies, are there like demands or people asking for running something that is not camel?
Not camel.
What?
Yeah, actually, sure. The whole idea of the DSL, the declarative nature of it, is it's fascinating. I like it. But the actual binding to a runtime system could be really anything. And actually, I asked you about Go. So at Uber, we use Go a lot. We have systems that are much more efficient to be written using Go. Such as Thrift and so on. That's why I asked you about that question. So in theory, you could write your DSL in Java, but then your binding could be in Go. And I don't know if you guys thought about that or not, but it'd be very interesting to think about. Any more questions? No. I think it's time. Thank you, guys.